today, I thought, who can I look at in the Bible that could help me best kind of communicate what change is all about? And the reality is it's everybody. Because everybody experiences change, right? We all experience change. So I thought, you know what I'm going to do is I want to jump over to Ecclesiastes, because if everybody experiences change, I want to look at King Solomon, because King Solomon was called, do you remember what he was called in the Bible? He was called the wisest man that was in there. He was full of wisdom. And so today we're going to learn about adapting to change, because life is always changing, and we've got to learn how to adapt to it. There's a man who dialed the wrong number one day, and when he got an answering machine, the following message said this. It said, "Hello, I'm not available right now, but I thank you for caring enough to call. I'm making some changes in my life right now. Please leave a message after the beep. If I do not return your call, you are one of the changes." And maybe you don't have that message on your phone, but maybe you've run into a discovery where life has changed without your permission, or what happened with this relationship, or you know, why is this happening to me and things seem to change? What do you do when you experience that? Because you can't stop change. So you've got to learn to work with it. How do you do that? I want to give you four principles today to help you navigate change. Whether you're a high schooler that's experiencing trying to figure out what to do now that this world's gone, you know, a little bit more crazy, because it's always been crazy. Maybe you're heading to college and you're trying to navigate those streams. Maybe you're getting married, you're getting into a new relationship. Maybe it's a financial decision, whether it's a spiritual one, whatever it is. The Word of God has something to say about how to learn to adapt and to navigate through those seasons in your life. No matter where we are in our walk with God, change is always going to take place. Did you know, for example, that today, right now, this is what scientists say, okay? So I'm not a scientist, but this is something that I've read, so I could show you if you want to see it. But scientists say that there are approximately 50 to 70 billion cells in your body that will die today. Now, that sounds pretty tragic, doesn't it? But the reality is we don't even know that. We don't recognize it. We're not aware of it. Or did you know that on average, this is just on average, okay, approximately 150 hairs fall out of the human head. So you may lose 150 hairs, some of you, and some of you have already lost them. So, but you see, there's things that always happen, things that change. When you grow in life, you don't remain that little toddler. You grow, you get taller, you get stronger, you get bigger. There's always change that's happening. And we have to learn to be able to be people that navigate those changes, because otherwise change can become something that can become frustrating, it can become irritating, it can make you angry, and you don't even know why. You don't know why you feel the way that you feel. But the truth is, change happens so fast. Kids grow so fast, don't they? I mean, our kids were so young, and now all of a sudden they're grown adults. It's happened so fast. I remember when I was 30-something years old, and let me go back even to the high school years when I said, man, I can't wait to grow up and get out of this house. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. You know, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this. And then once I got out of the house, I was like, I don't want to do that any longer. And before you know it, now all of a sudden I'm 50 years old. Where did the time go? Where did it go? See, when I was a kid, 50-year-old people were old. Thank God that changed, right? Life is always changing, and it goes at warp speed. So if you think, I don't have to worry about this, I'm just going to suck it up, we'll get through whatever chaos or moment that we're going through, and we'll just get back to normal, I would like you to help me then define what normal is. Because normal's got a different definition depending on your location, where you're coming from. See, change is always going to happen. I'm going to show you a video here in just a moment. Not yet, but just a moment. Because here's what happens is, in life, there's always different seasons. We go from winter to spring, to summer, to fall. Thank God we're in spring and heading for summer, right? At least I'm thanking God for that. We had a mild winter. I shouldn't complain, but I do. So, moving on. Seasons always change. And there's always going to be transition. How many of you are familiar with the 4x400 relay? Do you know what that is? Let me know. Wave at me or whatever. Okay, if you don't know, the 4x400 relay is a race that goes around in a circle. It's made up of four runners, each of them running 100 yards. And when they run, typically what happens is this. You'll see that they got to pass the baton, right? So when they run, I've discovered that most people never really have had problems with the running, but it seems like many people have had problems with the passing of the baton. Take a look at this video. Now, this is not meant to make fun of anybody, but you see here what can crucially go wrong. It's supposed to be a smooth transition, but it's not. And in those moments, according to the rules, you have to go back to the place where transition was supposed to take place normally and hand it off like you should. But uh-oh, wait a minute. Here you go. Wait a minute, stop. Are you sure we should be running this race? Yeah, go. And there they go. And they take off. Now you can go ahead and stop playing that. I just wanted you to get that picture in your head. We can look at this video and we can go, look at that, isn't that crazy? But how many times have you and I done the same thing? Maybe it's been in our walk with God, or we committed to something and then we stopped. No. And we keep doing that stutter step. You see, those seasons of life when you're going through, should I go or shouldn't I? Should I go back to church or should I wait a little longer? Should I tithe or shouldn't I tithe? Should I take the job or shouldn't I take the job? Should I get involved in this relationship or shouldn't I? And you'll go back and forth. And if you don't navigate these waters with wisdom, that's why we're looking at Solomon. He's one of the wisest men. If you don't have the wisdom from above, you don't have to be some smooth-talking Christian or know everything or be able to quote the Bible backwards and forwards and upside down. All you need to know is that God loves you. And you say, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. And he says, he will deposit wisdom into you. So, what is it that we need to know? Because the question today is not, will change ever happen? The question is, knowing that change always does, how will we respond to it? Because change is inevitable. Can we all agree on that? Okay, change is inevitable. So if change is inevitable, it's going to happen, we're agreeing today that it's going to happen, then the question on the floor should be this. It should be, how are we going to respond when change occurs in our life? Because if we don't talk about this right now, what we're going to do is not think about it. We're not going to talk about it. And then when change comes and we get frustrated, we just respond to it. So instead of just responding out of emotion and responding out of our feelings, what we want to do today is say, Lord, what are some principles that you have that I can put in my heart right now so that I'm prepared when life changes, though I may not like it, I have something to hold on to. The best time to plan for the worst case scenario is before the worst case scenario ever arrives. And so we have to be willing to say, Lord, speak to us now. Maybe you're here today and you're going through the worst case scenario. Okay, the best time's before it happened, but the next best time is right now. That's the next best time. So you must seek the Lord. I must seek the Lord for ourselves. But let's take a look at what King Solomon has to say, because King Solomon is the author of the book of Ecclesiastes, and it's through his writings where he helps us to know about God's grace. Let's take a look at the scripture. You'll see it's up on the screen. We do have an outline if you'd like to follow along. You can look on YouVersion. Those that are online, we have outlines for you under the media tab on our website. You can take a look there. And I want to encourage you, those of you that are online watching today, get involved, interact, get on the chat, start asking questions, and then other people can answer other people's questions. Give thumbs up, you know, to let us know that you're there and communicate. Now, here's what Solomon says. Solomon says, for everything there is a season, and for every activity under heaven, it says that there's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance. And then it goes on to verse 11 and says, God has made everything beautiful for its own time. Solomon is basically saying this. He's saying, I don't know what season you are in, but whatever season it is, God declares that it's something that's beautiful. And you might say, how can that be? I'm in a season of grieving. Well, I'll tell you why it's beautiful. It's beautiful because God's in the midst of that grieving process with you. How many of you would like to grieve apart from God? That would be horrific. You may say, I'm going through a season of crying, but let me tell you something. That season of crying, Jesus is with you every step of the way. It's easy on the mountaintop experiences to enjoy life and everything's going great. But isn't it true that it's in the valleys where we learn the most lessons? And the reason for that is because we're in the valley and we want to get out. And so we learn the lessons. And Solomon says, listen, whatever season you're in, he says, know this, that God has made it, it's beautiful. And he gives us some principles of how we can navigate through this season of adapting to change. Number one, let's take a look at this. Number one is this. When you're navigating through life and learning to adapt to change, know that change should be managed and it should not be manipulated. You're going to go through change in your life. I thought it very ironic that we are praying for Josiah and the season where he's moving into and this point in his life. We've seen the situation that we're dealing with across the world. No matter where you look, change is happening, right? And you can't avoid it. And what we tend to want to do is because we're not ready for it, we've not prepared for it, we don't, in as far as COVID goes, nobody knows what to do except one. But yet we keep leaning into our own understanding instead of leaning into Jesus Christ. And we've got to understand that we can't manipulate anything. Anytime you try to manipulate something, you do so because you want to keep yourself at the center. You know what I'm talking about? We want to be our own, the nucleus of everything. We want to be right here in the center. But the problem with that lifestyle is you want everything to evolve around you. Instead, Jesus says that he's to be the nucleus. He's to be at the center. So that wherever you go, even when life changes, you don't have to fall into manipulating things, but you do need to learn to manage them. Things will come down your way. When I was in eighth grade, I thought I was going to be a chef, and I was serious. I wanted to become a chef. Things changed. They changed. I still like to cook, but I don't want to do it for a living because I enjoy it. And if I had to do it for a living, I probably wouldn't enjoy it. And then in high school, I was going to do some IT work. I was going to Hamilton Tech for a while. I was going to do some technology stuff. That changed. Things kept changing. But you see, in one case, I was dreaming when I wanted to be a chef. That was eighth grade, okay? So I didn't have the worries of the world. I didn't have to pay bills, mortgages, all that stuff. I could dream. But when high school hit, I had to figure out how to do what I needed to do, and I was scrambling. Instead of just trusting the Lord, I was trying to grab at anything and try to make something happen. And you see, it's always harder when you try to make something happen versus asking the Lord what he has for you and then just simply following his lead. When you're going through seasons of change, don't manipulate, but manage, because things will change. You may have a great idea. I thought I was going to be the greatest chef. I thought I was going to be, some IT wizard and all that. It didn't happen, but the Lord had another plan. I never knew I'd be doing this back then. As a matter of fact, this is the one thing I tried to avoid doing back then, believe it or not. Because when you grow up in a pastor's home and your dad's the pastor and everyone's like, hey there, little guy, are you going to be a preacher like your dad? And I was like, no. Here I am. Here I am. See, God had a different plan, and I'm okay with it because instead of manipulating things, I decided to say, Lord, what do you have to say? And he says, well, funny enough, I do want you to be a pastor. I was like, seriously? Seriously. Okay, here we go. You see, I'm passionate about what I do because I went and I found him. And when I found him, his will found me. You see, it blossomed, it flourished, and I discovered that. But that didn't happen until I stopped spinning the plates. And I decided to just surrender like we sang about. I decided to surrender. See, you may be facing something and it's frustrating you, but God has a different plan. How many of you are familiar with bubble wrap? You know what I'm talking about? Bubble wrap? Okay. Now, you get something from Amazon, you get the big ones, right? Boof, when you squeeze those things. I'm talking about bubble wrap, the teeny tiny little bubble wrap stuff. How many of you, when you get it, are the one bubble poppers? You like to do that. You got one bubble poppers? Okay, I'm going to assume the rest of you are the, I can't wait to twist the heck out of it. And you start popping up all that bubble wrap. Do you know that bubble wrap, celebrated it was 10 years ago now, but it was celebrated a golden anniversary. But did you know what its primary function, though it's used to cushion all of the things that we mail around, do you know what its first original intention was supposed to be? Anybody know? Get ready for this one, because I couldn't really believe it either. Wallpaper. Wallpaper. How many of you like bubble wrap wallpaper in your house? That'd be the weirdest thing. As soon as you land, of course, a couple back there. lean against the wall, pop, 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 time for new wallpaper. What are you going to do? You know what I mean? Dude, I popped my wallpaper. That's just not something we hear. But here's the thing. In the late 1950s, a New York City designer was looking for a new type of textured wall covering, but the idea never took off. Go figure. But there was, or were, two inventors by the name of Mark and Alan. And they had envisioned, they looked at that wallpaper and they said, wallpaper? Seriously, I don't think that's going to work, man. But I got another idea. And it says that they had a different application for this bubbly wallpaper and created an industry that now is known as bubble wrap and brings in approximately $4 billion a year. I don't think you'd get $4 billion from bubble wallpaper, but you will from bubble wrap. But you see, if there wasn't some people there that were willing to be fluid and flexible, and when they had a plan and they said, this is the way we're going to go, you're going to love this idea, man. Bubble wallpaper, what do you think? And everybody goes, I don't think so. See, rather than getting discouraged and throwing it all away, rather than trying to manipulate it and try to sell everybody on the fact that they needed bubble wallpaper, they reinvented it and said, you know what we need to do is use this to secure all the fragile, breakable things. And it took off. What's my point? My point is simply this. When you're going through seasons of change, you may have one idea, and sometimes you're going to find God has another. And his ways are always better. They're always bigger. They're always brighter. They're always more valuable. So you can choose then, wallpaper or bubble tape the way it was intended. You see, you got to learn to manage those seasons in your life and to trust the Lord with what it is that he has and what he's going to do. Because when you do, then you start asking the right questions. When you go through seasons where change is happening and you're not okay with it, can we just all be honest and say, when COVID happened, nobody likes the changes that took place, right? Nobody wants to feel like a thief in a grocery store. Nobody wants to go to a place of business and feel guilt or feel worry about what other people think. We want to be able to enjoy one another, but right now, things have changed. And more than just how we adapt to the change, it's our attitude behind it, our spirit behind it, that we've got to be very careful about, because the enemy's looking for any crack where he can get in there and twist that and manipulate it some more, or get you and I to manipulate it some more. Instead, we got to start asking the right question. And the wrong one is this. The wrong question is, it's like every two-year-old. What's the question? Why? Well, why do I have to do this? Why don't they? Why do they get to get away with that? Why can't I have that? Why do they get, why? Instead of asking why, the real question we need to ask is what? Instead of saying, why, God, when things don't go well or we're going through seasons of change, what we say is, what, God, are you trying to teach me? What, God, are you trying to show me? I've saved myself more time and pain and agony in life. When things didn't go my way, I used to always say, well, why this and why that? And, you know, this church and this person and that person. And, you know, you start doing all this. That doesn't work. That's not beneficial. What is? It's when you say, Lord, this situation, what do I need to know? What do I need to learn? How can I grow? How can I become better so I don't have to come back to this place once again? How many of you know that when you go to the woodshed once, you don't want to go back for second helpings? And it's not a woodshed necessarily that he always brings us to, but you get my point. When you learn the lesson, you get to grow, and you get to move on from that, and you get to work in unison with the body of Christ, not just the body, the church, me, but the body of Christ. Imagine with me, if you will, this. Let's say you and I were going to go to a concert today. An orchestra, you know, they're going to play some classical pieces. So when you see them getting ready and you've got all the musicians, they all have different instruments, don't they? You've got the oboe, the clarinet, the flute, the trombone, the trumpet. You've got all of these different instruments. And when they're warming up, everybody's playing their instrument. It's just chaos and noise because everyone's warming up and going up and down the scales. But then all of a sudden something happens when the conductor comes out and he grabs his wand. This is my wand. And he goes, and he taps the table. And when he does that, silence happens. Then they all fix their eyes on the conductor. And the conductor, in his own timing, when he's ready, leads them. And all of a sudden, what was a bunch of chaotic, messy noise is now beautiful harmony that's coming together. One instrument complementing the other. So it's a piece that we can all go, oh, that's so beautiful to listen to, right? But you see, that only happens when we work in unity, with what it is that God's doing. Maybe you're going through chaos. What's my point? Maybe you're going through a chaotic situation. We all face those situations in life. But it's when we let God silence the chaos in our life, when we're going through seasons of change and we say, Lord, what do I need to learn? Then all of a sudden, we've all got our own giftings, right? We've all got our own abilities. We've got our own talents. But when we surrender them to Christ, we all get to function as the body of Christ. And there's to be this beautiful music that's made. There's this sound that resonates with the very Spirit of God. But that only happens when we face these times of change and we say, God, not why does it have to happen, but God, what is it I need to know? What do I need to be doing so that I can have a right heart? Here's what it says in Proverbs. You guys are looking awful comfortable and quiet, so I'm going to have you read it with me, okay, so that we don't doze off. Proverbs chapter 3. Let's read this one together nice and loud. Ready? Go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. So when you trust him is when he steps in. When you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now, I wouldn't throw a rock at you at all, because there's been too many times where I've trusted myself way more than I've trusted God. And all I can say is I learned hard lessons that day. He says, lean into me and trust me. Don't deny that change is going on. Identify that when change is going on, something greater has to step in. And that's why we need the wisdom of God. So we can't manipulate. We got to manage. Number two, I'd say write it down, but we wrote it down for you. Number two is this. Don't make permanent decisions based on temporary conditions. When you and I are going through change, seasons, maybe it feels kind of chaotic. Don't make permanent decisions based on temporary conditions. So often we'll say things, or maybe you've had them said to you, well, you always do that. Or maybe what was spoken to you is you'll never change. Or maybe we're the ones that have said that to people. See, the problem is in the heat of emotion, we can make statements, and if people believe that, or if you and I believe that, then we start going, that's true, and we make it a permanent decision. Yeah, I am a failure. Yeah, I am a loser. Yeah, I'll never amount to anything, but that's not what God says at all. God says that he's got a plan and a purpose for you in your life, and he's got a future for you. You've been fearfully and wonderfully made, so if God says that, we definitely should not be making decisions that are based on temporary conditions. When you're going through change, your supervisor comes along and lets you know that you're going to be promoted, you feel pretty good, don't you? But what if that same supervisor comes and says, hey, we're going to have to change your position? He never used the word demotion, but that's what it feels like, right? And he moves you over. Do you have that same spirit in you when you got the promotion as you do when you get a different, title or job change? See, a lot of times we wrap our identity in what we do rather than wrapping our identity and what Jesus Christ, what he's done for us and who he says we are. See, we can't make permanent decisions based on temporary conditions in our life. Here's what Galatians chapter 9 says. Galatians chapter 9 tells us that one of the most important things that we can do is make sure that we not only trust in the Lord, but it's up on the screen, you can read it with me. It says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. For at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we what? If you don't give up. There's a lot that's being said in this verse right now. It says, do not get tired of doing what is good, which it tells me that you can get tired, but he says, don't be tired of doing good. Many of us have been tired of, because we're doing the not so good, right? He says, don't get tired of doing what's good though, doing what's right, for there's a right time. There's a timing, God says, for what it is that you want. There's times when I've asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't understand. Why not now? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And a lot of times his answer is usually like, it's not the right time. You know, have you ever found out that if God hasn't said yes and he hasn't said no, usually then what he said is wait. And I don't like that word, do you? No, I don't like it, unless I'm the one telling somebody. But I don't like to wait. God, I don't understand why the whole timing in that. You see, we've got to trust the Holy Spirit in this. And it can lead us to frustration. We can get anxious. We can get worked up. We can get emotional. But that's why we have to, if you look at number three, you make sure that we do this. When we're looking at seasons of change and adapting to change, you've got to focus. I've got to focus on our faith, not on our frustrations. It's easy to get frustrated. Can we all agree on that? It doesn't take much. You leave the day, you get a slow person in front of you, you can get frustrated. You have to wait in line at the store, you know, longer than 5 minutes, you can get frustrated. It's easy to get frustrated. But I'm encouraging you from the Word of God that Solomon even tells us that when you face seasons of change, don't embrace the frustration. Embrace the faith that you have in God. Now, I'm not talking about being religious, go to church more, which is not a bad thing. Read your Bible more, that's not a bad thing. Do some more devotions, that's not a bad thing. But I'm talking about leaning on the belief that you trust fully in God, that He's got your back. When you're going through difficult seasons, you know that He cares for you and He provides for you and that He has a plan for you. You may not see the plan, you may not know the plan. You just know there is a plan. That's why in the Bible, you know, it says, the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I studied that out, I found out when that was written, it was literally a lamp. And a lamp would only illuminate the next step. And that person would take that step and it would illuminate the next step. You get the picture? So when he says, your word is a lamp unto my feet, what we think in our head is it's a 5 bajillion megawatt LED bat light, bring down a plane kind of thing. Your word is a light, and it's going to show me everything I ever wanted to know about my future so that I can make decisions based on what it is that I see. And that's not what he said. He said, when you're going through seasons of change, know this, I will illuminate the next step for you to take. Well, Lord, when are you going to illuminate the next step? His answer, as soon as you take that step. You take that step, I'll illuminate the next one. Well, Lord, why can't you illuminate 3 of them? See how we go to why so easy? When instead we should say, Lord, what do I need to do? He says, take the next step. What do I do now? Take the next step. What do I do now? Step to the right. What do I do now? You know, it's kind of a game of Simon Says, basically, except we're taking Simon out and putting Jesus in there. I never did good at Simon Says. I liked to break the rules. I'm sure you guys know that very well. But here's something that we don't want to break. We want to know what it is that God has to say, because then that's leaning into your faith, following the Lord. You see, if you don't do that, you feel this distance. You feel this sense of loss. Have you ever lost something that was valuable to you? I remember being on a missions trip with Lisa and a group from the church here. We went to Juarez, Mexico. And back in the day, that's what people say when they don't want to say how far back. But I didn't want to carry stuff in my pockets. I was afraid I'd get pickpocketed or something. So I put on the notorious fanny pack. I did. Also known as man purse. Also known as other things we don't want to mention right now. And everyone made fun of me. They gave me a hard time, to which I did not care because I was in Mexico. Nobody knows me. And they're not going to remember me. Kyle will remind me continually. But everybody made fun of that until they wanted to put their money in it or their keys in it. Hey, Pastor, can you just put this in there? Nope. Sorry. Ain't going to happen. You know, gave them a hard time. Eventually, I don't know if I did or not. But we came back from Mexico. We're in Chicago O'Hare Airport, which is extremely busy. Maybe not as of late, but, you know. And one of the team members wasn't feeling too well, went in the bathroom. I went to check on him. So they're in one stall. I'm in the other. And I pulled out that paper you put around the rim of the toilet, rip one out, and I write a note on it. Dude, how you doing? You feeling okay? And I put it on the floor, you know, because I'm trying to protect his dignity a little bit. Slide it over there. He writes a note, slides it back over. But you see, in order to do this little, you know, I spy thing we had going on, you know, I took off that fanny pack and I hung it on the door. You can tell where this is going, can't you? Yeah, we're talking, you know. So eventually he says, I'll be out in 10 minutes. I'm feeling better. Okay. And I leave, and I cross the point of no return. You know what I'm talking about? When you go past security, you know, somebody could be, you know, life and death. You're not crossing that security line again. And it's almost like inside, I cross it. I'm like, where's my, oh, no. You know, I'm pounding on the walls, and security's looking at me like, yeah, we got another crazy one over here. Bring it. Send some backup. And I pleaded, and I said, please, you know, I just left it in the bathroom where you go check. And the guy's like, whatever. He walked in, walked out, didn't find anything. I said, seriously, it's in. Go look in the second stall. 1, 2, you know. He walked in, and finally he came out, and he had it. And by God's grace, somebody didn't steal it. By God's grace, that guy was willing to go look for it. I mean, the way he knew it was mine, obviously, is he took the ID out, looked at my face and all that. But I remember the panic that came over me when I felt like I lost. I mean, we're talking personal credit cards, church keys, my keys, just everything, everything. And it was gone, and panic set in. And moms, you know this panic. It's the same panic that when you're at the store with your kid and they were there 1 second ago, then you look back and they're gone. And that panic, where'd they go? And it just sets in there, and it gets in there. You see, there's always going to be things in life that might be chaotic, and it might cause a panic to arise. But that's when you lean into your faith in God. Believe me, I was praying, dear Jesus, please let somebody find that that's a Christian. You know, let them turn it in. And sure enough, it happened. But you see, when you're going through your seasons of change and you face frustrating moments, do you lean into your faith or do you lean into your own abilities? Do you trust yourself? You can't answer this right now, but do you trust yourself more than you trust God? Because he says, you got to be fluid and flexible. Maybe some of us here are like, you know, hey, I'm completely flexible. I'm willing to go. Let's say on a scale of 1 to 10. On a scale of 1 to 10, number 1 is being, I'm completely flexible. I can roll with whatever God has. I can help people. I can accommodate them. I can do all things, right? And then 10's over here going, uh-uh. I'm not willing to accommodate change. I don't like it. It annoys me. It frustrates me. On a scale of 1 to 10, let me ask you the question, where do you fit on that scale when it comes to God speaking to you? When it comes to saying, Lord, have your way. We can sing it, but now we've got to live it. Now we've got to live it. Where do you fit on that scale? Because that might determine why you see more frustrations than you see more faith or more feeling of that trust in the Lord. We've got to trust him in everything. Ecclesiastes says this, and by the way, you got to remind yourself of this. Remember that we usually become the most frustrated right before we have a breakthrough. Right before we have a breakthrough. So hold on to that. Put that in your pocket. But no, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14 says this. I know that everything God does will endure forever, Solomon says. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. And God does it so that man will revere him. In other words, respect, be in awe of, what we'll trust. It says in Ecclesiastes 12:13, Solomon gets the end of it all and says this basically, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is man's all. That's what he says. When it's all said and done, at the end of the day, fear God and keep his commandments. Not fear, be afraid or scared. Like we used the analogy a couple weeks ago of electricity. Electricity is not going to chase you down and shock you. But if you don't treat electricity with some respect and you stick a screwdriver in a light socket, it's going to shock you. There's going to be problems. You have a respect for that. You become more in awe of that. He says, trust in the Lord and fear him. Not fear afraid, but fear trust. Romans 8:28 says, we know that God causes, it's a familiar scripture, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purposes, right? See, he's got a calling for us. So the question is, are we going to give access to God? Are you and I, are we going to give him access to God? Because God is our provider. And when you're going through seasons of change, it can become frustrating. Well, how do I know if I've arrived or not? Well, number 4 is this. When you're navigating through the seasons of change, be more grateful than you are a grumbler. How do I know if I'm embracing this? Well, do you grumble more or are you thankful for what you have? Well, I don't have anything to be thankful for. Yes, you do. You just got to look for it. You'd be more grateful. I know that we've hit this one a couple times throughout this series, but we must be more grateful. It's important to be grateful because Jesus gave up all for us. He surrendered himself so that we could understand what it means to be free indeed. You see, this is so important for us to embrace. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 12 says this. I know there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toils. This is the gift of God, it says. The gift of God is to get to the place where we can understand that he gives us these great gifts, but that happens when we're grateful for them. Do you thank the Lord for that which you have? Let me tell you, and we're going to get ready and close with this, but let me tell you a story about a man by the name of George Mueller. George Mueller, this is going back to the 1800s, okay? So George Mueller ran an orphanage, probably very similar to the one we support in Cambodia. You know, he had a lot of a lot of orphans. And at one point in time, he had 1,000 orphans in the orphanage. Now, I don't know how that works. I don't know what that looks like to gather 1,000 kids around the table to eat. But he woke up one day, and he had been praying and asking the Lord to just make a way. And he prayed, and when he got up the next morning, there was no food. There's no food on the table. And he said, Lord, I don't know what we're going to do, but he said, I'm going to trust you. And he called all the kids, he gathered them around, and he says, we're going to pray. And he said, he took time and he prayed and he thanked the Lord for all of the blessings that God had given them. But kids were kind of scratching their head because they're saying, where's the food? And he continued to pray. And as he prayed and as he thanked the Lord for all of the provisions and that God's our provider and that he's our savior and that he's our healer, by the time he got done, he prayed, said amen. And though the children were confused, it wasn't but 2 minutes later, somebody knocked on the door. And it was the local baker. And the baker said, I don't understand it, but last night the Lord just kept putting on my heart that I needed to bake a bunch of bread for you guys and bring it to you today. And the kids' mouths just hit the floor. They couldn't believe it. They got to see in action what it means to literally be grateful for that which you don't have and then watch God provide. And as they were distributing the bread, before the kids even got the bread to their mouth, there was another knock on the door. And you got to remember, 1800s, okay? They didn't have the milkman was really the milkman, and he went around in the carriage. But something happened, and his transportation broke down. And he said, listen, this milk's going to go bad, so I want to give it to you guys so you guys can have it. And it took care of the whole orphanage. George Mueller, that morning, prayed that God would provide. He was grateful, and he gave thanks. And when he did, God made a way. He opened up a door. See, God many times, he's looking for a way to get in, to get not just get what you want, but to get you to the place that he wants you at, and he wants to do it through the doorway of gratefulness. See, we're reminded of this in Colossians, and this is the last verse. Colossians chapter 3 says this, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, and be what? Thankful. Be thankful. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. It's all about gratefulness. So my prayer for us is simply this, church. As you go through the seasons where you say, you know what? I don't exactly know what's going on. I've experienced brokenness. Maybe you've experienced loss. Know this, that as you go through life and as you trust the Lord, change is inevitable. It's going to happen. But as you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you through these seasons of change, you will rise to the surface and you will be greater than anything that you face because God's with you. Greater is he that's within you than anything else in this world. Amen. Will you pray with me? Father, I just want to simply say thank you that when the world changes, we haven't quite been prepared for it. Lord God, you never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Lord, I pray for those that are here today, that Lord, as they're going through seasons of change, that you will help them to navigate through those seasons of life. Lord, I pray that we will have an ear to hear you. That, Jesus, we will be sensitive and open to what it is that you have for us so that, Lord, we can always respond to where your Holy Spirit is leading us. Jesus, I pray today that as we surrender everything to you, that, Lord, you would bring fruitfulness, that, Lord God, you would bring provisions, Lord, that you would be magnified, honored, and glorified in all that we do. So, Lord, as we lean on you and not our own understanding, we're asking you to let our testimony be something that can reach another so they can see the goodness of God as well. Lord, we thank you for this. We ask it in your name. Amen.